You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-479-2697.
Some gun-toting citizens are taking up the job of guarding military recruitment centers in the wake of last week's deadly attack in Chattanooga.
Clint Janney is posted outside a Columbus recruitment center with a 9mm handgun.
Until they have an armed security guard inside, bulletproof glass left in front, a buzzer at the door, we'll be here as long as they need us.
Kim McLaughlin was shopping near the recruitment center and says she's worried about the volunteer defenders.
It'll probably be more better for security guards because we really don't know the state of their mind. They might just start shooting.
U.S. Army Recruiting Command doesn't have a position on the issue as long as the self-appointed guards aren't disruptive. I'm Violet Ekonomova.
Francisco Sanchez, the illegal immigrant accused of killing Catherine Steinle in San Francisco a few weeks ago, will make a court appearance today. The murder has grabbed national attention because Sanchez has a criminal record and has been deported several times. Congress is considering bills to withhold federal funding to so-called sanctuary cities like San Francisco. The penalty phase begins today in the trial of Colorado movie theater shooter James Holmes, who was convicted earlier this month of killing 12 people and wounding 70 others. Jurors quickly rejected Holmes' claim that he was legally insane when he opened fire in Aurora, Colorado in July 2012. Now jurors will have to weigh the extent of his mental illness when deciding if he gets the death penalty. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. Design Dilemmas is our show that's interactive. We are a web-based show, so we come to you in a couple of different ways. First of all, we do go to social media. We go to Facebook, we go to Twitter, we go to all the feeds of social media to have your design questions answered. But we also have open phone lines here where you can reach us. It is now 2:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you'd like to give us a call here at the station, the phone number is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. You can also text me at 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. And I have a list. I've gotten so much correspondence via my email and also through Twitter and Facebook. I have tons of questions to go through today. But let's start by taking a look at the weather and see what the National Weather Service has forecasted for us. It's saying to me here that this afternoon it's going to continue to be sunny with a high of 85. I think it's hotter. My car said 91 when I was driving over to the studio. Tonight, it says it will be mostly clear with a low of 58 degrees. On Thursday, tomorrow, it's going to be another beautiful day, sunny with a high of 83 degrees. On Thursday night, it's going to be mostly clear with a low of 59. And on Friday, again, a third day of sunshine. That's kind of nice to take a look at, with a high of 84 degrees. Well, for those who don't know me, my name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior designer for the past 18 years, specializing in residential and commercial spaces, mostly in New Jersey, but I have done some work in New York City and the boroughs, and some work down in Florida. I specialize in everything from simple color consultations to doing kitchens, doing bathrooms, and everything in between, both, again, residential and commercial. I also have a background in broadcasting and a degree in broadcasting and communications besides design. So when an opportunity came up to do some radio and work with the design field in communications, it was really something that I longed to do. We started in January with Modern Design 1, and that's where I interview a guest each week that's related to the design field, and we talk about what's trending. And my guest this morning from 10 to 11 was Patty Beerworth, and she's with Flowers by the River in Califon, and we talked about what's trending for flowers, what you should bring in your house, organic elements. She was very good, and you can listen to that on the podcast tomorrow. And then I did that for about 6 months, and then the opportunity came to do this show. It's a concept that I came up with to be more interactive. I'm constantly getting questions from people to how to do things. I think people are kind of confused. Often styles have changed. They want to make changes in their home or their office, but they're not sure what to do. So I thought, what if we did an interactive show? If we had open phone lines for people to call in, but also through social media, if people would express to us the things that they think about, the things that they are doing to their houses, and that maybe that would strike a chord to some of our listeners. So again, our phone lines are open. If you want to call us here in studio, we are live at 207 Eastern Standard Time. The phone number is 908-237-0410. I'm going to start reading some questions from social media, and if we have a call in, we'll put that call on hold, and we will take your questions live on the air. I'm going to start with my first question, which came to us from Twitter, and this is from Kerry C. in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. And she asked me, should I use a series of pictures or one large piece in my living room? Well, that's I guess that's sort of a matter of personal taste. I will say some general things about artwork and hanging pictures. One of the things that you want to take into consideration when you are hanging artwork is that the size of the artwork is in proportion into the space that it is. So if you have a very tiny or shallow wall, you don't necessarily want to put a very big picture on that wall. If you have low ceilings, you don't necessarily want to put something that's very tall on the wall. You want the artwork to be proportionate to the space in which it falls into. So keep that in mind. I don't obviously have a picture that's attached to this, so I can't really judge based upon a picture. But in general, if you keep things in proportion, that could work. I tend to like, on large accent walls, I tend to like large individual pieces of art. And then if you have a collection like over a sofa or above a occasional table, it's kind of nice to do a collection of pictures of maybe the same size, like a gallery of maybe 8 could be kind of nice to do. That's kind of attractive. And the thing that I'm doing a lot of lately is gallery walls. Maybe you want to take a wall in your space, maybe an upstairs hallwell. They're a great way to if you want to display some family pictures, maybe take the ones that you like the best, do them all in black and white, put similar frames on them, and you can create some sort of a gallery wall. So those are some general ideas of hanging artwork in your house and how you should do it. And I wish you well with that, Kerry. My next question comes to me from Vivian, and she's from Pottersville, New Jersey. And she says, do you think stair runners are a good idea? Are they still in style or not? Actually, I think we had a question like that a couple of weeks ago. Stair runners come up a lot, I have to tell you. A lot of the projects I have, we're taking the original stairs that are carpeted and bound out, and then hopefully if there's a hardwood underneath, we want to expose the hardwood. But some people feel once the hardwood is exposed on the stairs, a couple things. One, that it maybe looks a little naked. And two, maybe that a stair runner might be practical for animals or for people having mobility issues. And I say, that's very true. One of the things that I like to do is when I'm doing a staircase, I like to separate the risers from the treads. The treads are the top part of a stair, and often those are stained and they match the stain of the hardwood floors, if you have hardwood floors. And then the risers, or the piece that goes up, I usually like to paint them the color of the trim of the house. So often those are white. So that's a nice way, without putting a stair runner on a staircase, of showing differentiation right there, because you have the stained finish and then you have the painted finish, and that makes a nice look on the staircase. But beyond that, if you wanted to put a runner for either fashion or one of the reasons I put the first runner on my stairs in my house is I had a black lab. And as he was getting older, he was getting arthritis in his back legs, and he was having a hard time getting up those stairs. So I added a stair runner, and that really helped him get up the stairs. So sometimes just for practicality and mobility, you'd want to add a stair runner. Some of the things, today, that I think are different from stair runners even 10 years ago are that stair runners could be made out of anything. I think years ago people thought of stair runners as being kind of formal, and they did those bars, those decorative bars with the gold and all that kind of stuff. That's really out. Nobody does that hardware anymore on the stairs, or those decorative bars. So the stairs are sort of free flow now that they're again, stapled or glued down, but they don't have any ornamentation to them. And also, you can do a variety of widths. You can do a 24-inch width. You can do a 27-inch width. You can do a width. I kind of like it where the stair runner is proportionate to the stair itself, but you definitely see the woods on the side. So that's nice to see wood on either side of the staircase. And there's a couple of different ways you can do them. There's something called a waterfall, where it falls a certain way, or you can do a more tailored fit on the stair runner. And you can make stair runners out of anything now. You don't have to buy a dedicated stair runner that has a sort of an Asian look to it with defined lines on the ends. You can use broadloom carpet. You can have broadloom carpet now is so different. There's so many patterns in broadloom carpeting. And you can have that cut to fit whatever size you like and make that into a stair runner that can tie into carpeting into your home. Or just have a real nice look, a pattern look. A texture is always good on the stairs. And that's another way to do a stair runner. So I'd say go to it if you want to do a stair runner. They are still in style. They're different. I'm doing one right now up in Maplewood, and we're going to make it look like sisal. So it's going to tie into her sisal rug that has a border on it in her living room. And we're going to do something that's synthetic, but it looks like sisal. So that's a nice way to update your home. And that is very current and very modern. My next question comes to me from Westfield, New Jersey. This is Carol K. in Westfield. And she asked me, how can I get the most money for my home? Now, this is an email that I got, and I do have a picture attached to it. It looks like a nice older 1940s colonial home. It's brick in the front. It's kind of tight on the inside, and I'm going to make some general suggestions. I do a lot of staging for realtors, for Weikert Realtors, for Turpin, and for Coldwell Banker, and a little bit for Keller Williams as well. So often I'm asked the questions of what to do to improve the value of your home. In fact, yesterday I did a presentation for the Weikert agents in Oldwick, New Jersey, and we talked about what you can do to improve the value of your home. And staging is exactly that. For those of you that don't know what staging is, that is getting the house ready, bringing an outside person in and getting the house ready for sale, making the house look less like your own lived-in home, but a little bit more like a model, so that the people that come through think of it as their home, and making it a little bit more neutral. So based upon the pictures I see here, I see a lot of personalization in the house that I'm looking at in Westfield. One of the things that I say is you have to make the house look neutral, that anybody comes in can see their things in there. So the first thing I would say in this case is I see a lot of personal pictures in the foyer. That's a no. You want to remove any personal items from a house in the beginning. Wedding pictures, family pictures, please pack them up. You're going to be moving them to your new house and displaying them, so get rid of them. So that's number one, depersonalize the house. The second thing I would do is get rid of clutter. You should be able to walk around. A rule of thumb is walk through every room of your house and be able to make a circle around without having to go over something. If there's something on the floor and you have to move it, bad move. There's bad flow to a house. People are looking for houses, whether it be new construction or a resale, they're looking for an open floor plan. And if you have a colonial like this with smaller rooms, you're not going to have an open floor plan, but you can compensate by having openness in the rooms. So I'd say second rule is to get rid of clutter. There should be nothing decorative on the floor. Everything that's on the floor needs to come up except for the furniture. And you should be able to walk around each room without having to move an item to get to it. So that's the second thing to do. The third thing is paint. Paint is very critical. Paint really is magic and probably your least expensive way to make a house look new. So I would say that even a house, after 5 years, you start to get little nicks on the walls and things. A fresh coat of paint could make a really, really big difference. Nice clean white trim, nice white ceilings that are with ceiling white paint, and beautiful colors on the walls. And a tip for those of you that are getting your house ready for sale, you don't have to paint every room in the house white or antique white. In fact, sometimes that makes a space look very dull and not attractive. There are a lot of colors out there that are neutrals. Tans are neutrals, taupes are neutrals, some gray greens are neutrals, grays are neutrals. All those are colors. They're relatively neutral, and no one's going to not buy your house because you have pale gray walls with white trim on them. Maybe if they're, you know, purple or some sort of very personalized color, that would be a different story. But if you stay with the neutrals, you can do a lot of different colors, and it makes the trim stand out, and it makes the home look better in the photograph. So those are some of the things you can do to get top dollar for your money inexpensively for your home. Okay, it looks like we're coming up to our first set of commercials, and we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Aversa, Jody Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, HuntertonChamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
And we are back with Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. If you're just tuning in for the first time, this is our interactive program. It's all about design. It's all about you and your questions and what happens out there in the real world. What are people doing when they move into homes or changing their homes? What are their thoughts? What are their wishes? And hopefully if I get those messages out to you, both with my life experience, with my clients, with social media, and with the ability to call into the show, maybe we'll answer some questions for you in the difficult and confusing world of design. Again, I'm in the industry. My name is Richard Scuderi, and I'm an interior designer for the past 18 years. I also have my real estate license, and I spend about 30% of my time doing staging, getting houses ready for sale. And that's something that you should think about, not only when you're about to sell your house, but anytime you make a renovation to your home, you want to think about resale value. You know, the most people say that the biggest purchase you'll ever make in your life is your home. So when you do additions or improvements or changes to your home, you want to be very conscious that this is also a business transaction. So you want to do things that are going to please you, but at the same time, you also want to do things that are going to stand the test of time and bring you money on the back end when you go to sell your home. If you'd like to reach us in studio, it's now 2:20. Our phone lines are open here at 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. You also can text me. I have my cell phone on, and you can text me. I read the text live on the air. My number for texting is 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. I do take calls all week long from social media, from Facebook, from Twitter, and from my email, and I do read them on the air. So tune into our show. Your question that you sent me during the week may be read on the air. My next question comes to me. It was an email with a picture attached, and it came from Brittany from Livingston, New Jersey. And she asked me, what's the difference between granite and quartz? I get this a lot because I think people are doing quartz more than ever. The trend in design has gone a little bit more contemporary. And one of the things that quartz is able to do, because quartz is a man-made substance using stone, but man-made, it can be manipulated. So there's a lot more they can do with patterning that's very specific. The difference between granite and quartz is granite is a naturally occurring substance. Granite is mined. It's stone that comes from the earth. It comes out of the earth. It's stoned. It's polished. It's cleaned. And it's sliced into slices like sliced bread. And then it's put on a rack. And then when you go to a granite fabricator, you will see in succession that big hunk of stone, of granite, in slivers, usually 1¼-inch slivers, that are sometimes polished or sometimes not polished, and they're in succession, so they're of the same color value pretty much, and that's how you'd pick a granite. A quartz or a quartzite is they take that natural stone, that granite and so on, and then they grind it up with other substances, resins and so on, and then they create a pattern. In that case, they can create something quite specific that they can put metallics, they can input other things into it and give it a different sort of look. So that's the difference between the two. I tend to go more towards granite personally because I like naturally occurring substances. One of the things about granite is that because it comes from the earth and from the compressions of the earth, you get very interesting things like fossils, like things in it, and it's very irregular because it's nature. When you sort of get caught in man, sometimes it's very specific. And frankly, I find some of the quartzes to look very artificial. But that being said, if I'm doing more of a contemporary setting, you have more options to create statements through quartz because you can do whatever you want. You can create something that's sort of custom and quite specific. So that's, I hope, a good and simple answer for the difference between granite and quartz in working on your home. My next question came to me as an email, and this looks like it came from Blake and in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And it says, I want to do a new front walkway. Any suggestions on what to do, what's practical, and so on? Well, that's a good question as well. There are a lot of different substances to do walkways, and often people do pavers. You don't see many cement walkways anymore. Cement is always very difficult to maintain. It cracks over time. Pavers are a good solution. They've been treated and formulated to stand the test of time, so they could be set in a variety of ways, whether it be just very straight or a brick pattern or subway pattern. Herringbone is always very beautiful because it shows artistry. I also like brick. I think brick walkways are very pretty. I'm not such a big fan of brick on a house, but I do like brick walkways. And I worked with a company in Newark that just stocks reclaimed brick. And we took an older home that was clapboard siding, and we decided to add brick in the walkway. And we used old brick from an old factory in Newark. And we used the reclaimed brick again. It was nice to reuse products, I think, and keep the earth clean by reusing recycling products. But the texture and the look of the brick, the old brick, was so beautiful. It really made a nice walkway. So brick is another solution for you. And also all types of stone. I'm a big fan of bluestone. I love Pennsylvania bluestone, that gray bluestone, and do a bluestone walkway. That's another material that I like a lot. Again, in pavers, there are so many options for you, and that's a good place to start. I think you need to, what I do is when I do any project, I go out with my phone, which I call my camera, And I drive through neighborhoods, beautiful neighborhoods. And New Jersey has some beautiful older neighborhoods. Take pictures of things that you like and then visit any sort of stone yards in the area and start to price out what you like. But I think a good way to start is go to an older neighborhood, go to an area like Westfield, go into an area like Chatham, go to some older neighborhood, established neighborhoods, Sleepy Hollow and Plainfield, and take a look, take pictures at what really looks good, what has character, and then try to build on that. My next question comes to me from Tommy H., and he's in Reddington, New Jersey. And he says he is renting the house that he's living in with an option to buy. So he's interested in perhaps doing some renovations to a house. Again, he says here he doesn't own it, but he's interested in possibly buying it. And some people are into that situation. We've been in a sort of a tenuous time in the economy, and a lot of people haven't been necessarily able to sell their houses, so they're renting them in between with the option to buy. And I've heard that many times before. And he's asking me if it would be wise to do some renovations and what you would do as a renovation. Well, I guess to me, I'm very sensitive to my environment. So to go into a space and to live in it, not to like the way it looks on the inside, I probably would do some things. If you have a situation where you're rent with the option to buy, I would, number one, contact my landlord and get in writing from the landlord that it's okay to make some changes to your property. If I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to buy it, I probably wouldn't do things like change out countertops. But some of the things I might do would be lower cost items that you can do to make changes. And first, the thing that comes to mind to me is paint. Put your signature colors on the house. If it's rent with the option to buy, why not? Again, I always recommend a nice crisp white trim throughout the house so it's consistent, and do it in a semi-gloss. You know, pick beautiful paint colors. Paint does so much to a space, and it's not that expensive. So, you know, if you were to paint, you're there for 3 years, and then you opt not to buy it. What are you really at? Just the cost of the paint and the labor if you don't if you don't do it yourself. So, go to your local Benjamin Moore or Sherwin Williams dealer and go and pick out beautiful paint colors. Paint out your ceilings. You have nice molding and trim. Show it up with the white ceiling paint. That's the first way to go. The second thing is to furnish the place as if it was your home as well. Furniture is very portable. So take a look at your spaces and say, well, you know what? We're going to do a new family room set. We're going to do a new kitchen set, because you can always take those things with you. So furnish the place. Put up art that you can take with you. Do things that are mobile and not going to cost you too much money. A new color palette will lend itself to terrific ideas, and I would stick with that. And then if you decide to actually purchase the property, then I would go in and tackle kitchens and bathrooms. I'd probably stick to the lighter stuff at this point until you decide to buy the property. Okay, we're approaching the 2:30 hour, and we're going to come up to a news break. I think I can fit in maybe one more question. Let's see here. Okay. This comes from Rick R. in Ringo's, New Jersey, and he writes, What should I do? Texter popping in. What should I do to cover my sliding glass doors? Oh, I get this question all the time. Sliding glass doors are a particular issue to cover because they are functional and you want to go in and out of them, but you want to cover them, and God forbid we should be using vertical blinds. Vertical blinds were used in the past, and they're just terrible. Those are real ugly slats. They always come off. They're never attractive, and they're very dated looking. And I often say to people, there's a product out there called Luminettes, and it's kind of the best of both worlds. It's a thin web-like material that has a spine to it, so they do move with the door, but they allow light to come through, and they're a very simple window cover. That's maintenance free. They're not inexpensive, but if you go out and Google Luminette, you'll get a sample of what that, an idea of what that looks like, and then you can price them out. I think they're the best solution to cover a slider. Okay, we're now up to news, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas.
USA Headline News. I'm Helen Sloan. After the release of a video showing Planned Parenthood staff negotiating prices for body parts, members of Congress are lashing out. USA senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper was outraged over the video of a Planned Parenthood staff member negotiating prices for body parts with an undercover operative, telling USA Headline News.
When you thought it couldn't get any worse with Planned Parenthood, then you see this.
But Harper says members of the House are stepping up to take action.
Diane Black had done the original bill of H.R. 217, which was to prohibit federal dollars for abortion. But she's introducing a new bill, which I will be an original co-sponsor, that will just say no money, period.
I'm Jason Wirt.
Officials just held a press conference about last week's shootings in Chattanooga. They say one of the servicemen was killed outside the recruitment center. The other four were shot inside. This is USA Headline News.
Love the warmth and beauty of hardwood flooring? Then you got to get to Lumber Liquidators Hardwood Flooring Sale. For deals on over 200 varieties of hardwood from just 99 cents. You could pay twice as much at other stores, but we've got gorgeous, pre-finished, easy-to-install walnut red oak for $2.19. Stunning Sancho Bay solid hardwood for $2.99. Hot new wood look tile for an incredible $1.79. Plus laminate and more from 49 cents. And 24-month special financing. The hardwood flooring sale is going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
No student's ever been king of the classroom on day one, but with the right gear from Office Depot Office Max, like a new JanSport backpack, a Dell 2-in-1 laptop, and stellar notebooks, your kid'll be walking with varsity-level swagger. That's that new gear feeling. Shop with our experts to get great savings on a wide selection of school gear. And right now, get a Swiss Gear backpack for only $10. Office Depot Office Max. Gear up for school. Gear up for great. While supplies last, and $7.25.
The dash cam video has been released showing the arrest of Sandra Bland in Waller County, Texas, after a routine traffic stop. The 28-year-old was found dead a few days later in her jail cell. It shows Officer Brian Encinia pulling over Bland for failing to use her directional signal while driving. After they exchanged a few words, he shouted at her.
I said, get out of the car.
Why am I being apprehended?
You just opened my car door. I'm giving you a lawful order. I'm going to drag you out of here.
So you're threatening to drag me out of my own car?
Get out of the car!
An investigation is being conducted, according to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
The message we are sending here in Texas is the way any case like this should be handled anywhere in the country. And that is to be sure every question is asked and every question is answered.
Authorities say she hanged herself in her cell. Her family says she would never do that. She had just gotten a new job. Italy has arrested two men on terror charges. Prosecutors say they claimed allegiance to ISIS and were targeting an Italian military base that has U.S. military presence. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Congress is hearing from supporters and opponents of the nuclear deal with Iran. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
As Israel's ambassador urged several dozen House Republicans to reject the agreement, GOP senators also spoke out against the deal, with top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell stressing the doubt crosses party lines.
It seems the administration today has a long way to go with Democrats and Republicans alike.
His comments came just before administration officials held a pair of closed-door briefings to try to sell the deal here on Capitol Hill. Secretary of State Kerry and others will pitch the deal in public when they go before a Senate committee tomorrow. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
The penalty phase begins today in the trial of Colorado movie theater shooter James Holmes, who was convicted earlier this month of killing 12 people and wounding 70 others. Jurors quickly rejected Holmes' claim that he was legally insane when he opened fire in Aurora, Colorado in July of 2012. Now the jury will have to weigh the extent of his mental illness when deciding if he gets the death penalty. Bill Cosby's lawyers say his admission to using Quaaludes in the 70s doesn't mean he drug and sexually assaulted women. The lawyers are fighting in court to keep confidential Cosby's 2006 settlement in a sexual battery lawsuit. Cosby's accuser wants the settlement unsealed. A federal judge in Philadelphia cited Cosby's self-imposed role as public moralist in deciding to release long-sealed documents that contained excerpts from his deposition in which he talks about getting quaaludes to give women before sex. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
We are back with more of Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. Again, our show is all about interaction with the community, talking to people via social media, talking to people here on our live phone lines, and my experiences with people throughout the weeks and months on working on their homes and things that they can do to improve their home. It is now 2:35. Our phone lines are open. The number here in studio to call live is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. And if you want to text me, I'm getting texts as we're reading here. Here the bell is ringing. You can hear in the background. I'm getting quite a few texts in. And that is 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. If you'd like to email me at the show, I can't guarantee I'll read them during this hour that we're on, but I will read them in the upcoming weeks. The email is Cajun Maven, CajunMavin, at AOL.com. A little bit about what's going on at Maven Hill Designs. I do have an up-and-coming event on next Thursday, July 30th at 5 p.m. We are going to have a ribbon cutting from the Chamber of Commerce at my store, which is 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. We have a sale going on, a lot of new things, accessories, and we'll have some refreshments, and it's a nice way to do some business networking. Please feel free to join us again next Thursday the 30th at 5 o'clock at Maven Hill Designs. I'm within Rugs to Riches in the Kitchen Expo Plaza, 1 U.S. Highway 1, U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. If you want to get more details, the phone number is 908-832-7050, 908-832-7050, and I hope you'll be part of our celebration on the 30th from my company, Maven Hill Designs. The second thing is that I've been doing a lot of speaking recently, actually, as early as yesterday. I did a seminar on staging your home for sale over at the Weikert office in Old Wick, New Jersey. I did one before that at the Weikert office in Flemington. And I do that both for organizations and businesses, women's clubs, and also for private parties, sometimes showers, sometimes different events. People will bring me in to speak on design and talk about what's relevant, what's current. It's kind of a fun thing to do. And our rates are very reasonable. If you'd like to call our offices, again, it's 908-832-7050. And we'll give you more information and our price structure to come out to talk to you about design. And with that in mind, I guess our phone lines are still open. And I'm going to go to my next call, which was Rochelle. And doesn't say where Rochelle is from. And she says to me that she has a very dated and unattractive fireplace with brick on it. Any suggestions on what you can do to change the look of a brick fireplace? Well, this is very relevant. The project that I'm going to work on this afternoon has exactly that situation after the show today. They bought a house that was built in the early 1980s, but kind of has a 70s looking fireplace. It's a very dark brick, and it's basically almost the entire length of the room. It has a raised hearth, so it's got a very big profile, and it's just there. It doesn't have a lot of architecture to it. So in this case, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to create a mantle using an old barn beam. There's a company that I use out here called New Jersey Farms and Barns off of Route 31, where they take old barn timbers. And what we're going to do is take this barn timber and adhere it, make it work with the existing brick, and have an old barn beam as the mantle, which is really going to look nice. We're going to probably have to do some sort of corbels or support underneath, but that's really going to add to the architecture, because there really is no mantle per se. So that will give another surface. And the second thing we're going to do is, I'm not a big fan of brick for fireplaces, and this is bound by a lot of brick. So we're going to do what's something called a lime wash, and I'm using my decorative artist, Adrian. She's been a guest on Modern Design several times. In fact, she was here a couple of weeks ago talking about her new adventure, Med Lavender Farm. She raises lavender, and she does that in conjunction with being a decorative artist. In fact, I'm starting to sell some of her lavender products in my store in Flemington, lavender soaps and satchels and so on. I digress. But getting back to the fireplace itself, we're doing something called a lime wash. And that is, if you look at very old brick buildings, they often have some sort of degradation over time where the grout is, and you see sort of the white sort of spreading out, if you will. And it's a very attractive look. It sounds like it's terrible, doesn't it? But it's a very attractive look. So we're going to, on top of the doing the bar and beam first, we're going to create a subtle wash over the fireplace. But I want to be very specific about that, because a lot of you out there that listen to me are DIY people. What you don't want to do is go out and get white paint and then dilute it with water or some sort of a glaze and throw it over all your brick. What that happens, and I've seen people do that over and over again, it becomes just sort of an ugly film over the brick. And it is a terrible look. It has a fakeness to it. It makes the brick look worse. It's awful. What you want to do is you want to go into select areas of the grout and the brick and make it look like it's patinaed over time, that it's aged naturally. And that's when you get a nice result. Some of the other things you can do to a brick fireplace is you can paint it out completely. I've painted out brick fireplaces, most often white. I've painted them in cream colors. I painted them the color of the wall in certain cases. And then I put a cap on top of them, maybe a black painted cap, to give them a different look. I've also covered them in all sorts of materials, any sorts of cosmetic coverings of stone, different types of stone. I've covered them in slate. I've covered them in bluestone. I've done where we've made a stucco look with the fireplace. I've done a skim coat level over it. There are a myriad of choices that you can do. You don't have to live with your, if it's an ugly brick, you don't have to live with your fireplace. So I hope I gave you some good solutions to improve your brick fireplace. And if you want to call me for more suggestions, you can contact me at 908-884-0770. I'd be glad to come out and take a look at your fireplace and see what we can do for you. All right, my next question comes to me from Tom in Greenbrook, New Jersey. A lot of guys today. Tom in Greenbrook, New Jersey, who writes, I want to redo my master bath. Any suggestions? Well, I don't have a picture attached to this, so I don't know what you're starting with. But I'm going to give you some general guidelines to redoing a master bathroom, both for resale, some of my ideas, and some things that I see universally when people are going to purchase homes. A master bath is particularly important. I think the most important room in a house is, of course, a kitchen, because it's the heart of the home. Probably the second most important for both resale and for living is the master bath. And one of the first things I would suggest, again, I don't have a picture and I don't have the specs of how big your master bath is, but it's having two sinks in a master bath is critical. Two people in a space, give each person their own sink. If you have the room, that's the first thing that I would do. I would make sure that my vanity has two sinks in it. There is a look or a trend now for master bathrooms to have two vanities. And I'm not particularly a fan of it. I think it takes up a lot of space and then you lose counter space. I prefer to have one countertop with the two undermounted sinks and plenty of storage underneath and making it one space. I'd also suggest that your commode and your sinks be white. They be undermounted, and then they be white with one solid vanity with plenty of storage. I'm doing a lot of 20-style bathrooms now. I do like white bathrooms in particular. That doesn't mean you have to do white. You certainly could do sand colors or neutral colors. But I've been a big fan of white, particularly when we do shower surrounds. I'm doing a couple of bathrooms right now where we're doing the shower surround in white subway tile, a 3x6 subway tile, which does stand the test of time. And then we're either doing some sort of a niche or inlay for soaps and so on, where you can create a mosaic or an inlay. And then also on the ceilings of the shower, we're doing some sort of a herringbone or a treatment with that 3x6 subway tile. So that's another way to go. Often our countertop in the bathroom is a marble. Although I don't like to use marble too much in kitchens for staining, I think it's perfectly good. So a Carrara or a beautiful marble is a nice thing to do in a master bathroom. And then also your floor tile, tending more towards larger tiles, 18 by 18, 20 by 20. Larger floor tiles are another thing that I like to do. So I hope that gives you some general ideas of what you can do with your space. We're about to go to commercial, and we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. As I said earlier in the broadcast, I am having an event at Maven Hill Designs, 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey, at the Flemington Circle. We're in the Kitchen Expo Plaza. You'll probably see on your way in Ideal Tile, which is a great destination for tile, which is at the end of our plaza. We're in the former Lenox location. I share my space of Maven Hill Designs with John from Rugs to Riches. You probably remember him. He's been in the area for 30 years. We have all sorts of decorative items. I represent two local artists. One is John Schmidtberger in Flemington. I'm sorry, in Frenchtown. And I have another local artist in Flemington that will also be presenting on that night and have some artwork that you can buy. I have lots of accessories, very interesting candles, decorative items for your home, and maybe just get some great ideas. We have all sorts of area rugs, and we're having a big sale in conjunction with the event. If you'd like to join us, it's open to the public. It will be next Thursday the 30th at 5 o'clock at Maven Hill Designs, 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. If you'd like to call for more information, the phone number is 908-884-0770. Our phone lines are still open. It's now 2:48. We're only going to be on the air for another 10 minutes, but you can squeak in a question. I'd be glad to answer it for you. I have so many. You probably heard the papers rustling. I had so many questions from social media this week. It's great. Keep coming with your questions. My next question is from Lisa, and she's in Lebanon, New Jersey, and she says, we are turning a spare bedroom into a sitting room. What can I do to make it more comfortable? Well, I don't have a picture with this as well, but I have done that a lot, taking a bedroom that was specifically a bedroom and turning it into a sitting room. And I think I've had a question like this, even maybe on last week's broadcast. Kids grow up and you have basically a kid's bedroom. Hopefully it's a decent size. And we want to make it more of a lounge room or an upstairs sitting room or an office. One of the ways I like to do that, especially if it's going to be a sitting room, is to remove the carpet if there's wall-to-wall carpeting in that space. And if there's hardwood floors in other parts of the house or in that house, tie in a hardwood floor to that. So if you have hardwood floors on the stairs or on the first floor, maybe tie that into it so it looks like that was always designated to be not a bedroom. So in other words, if you, again, in the first floor, you have hardwood floors and they're a like a butterscotch or a mid-tone color, even if the second floor never had hardwood floors, put a hardwood floor just in that room of the same finish. So there's continuity, and looks like that was set up to be that. The second way I do that is probably to paint it a darker or more saturated color. Make it look like it wasn't meant to be a bedroom, what wasn't meant to be a restful, if you will. And then you want to change out your window treatments. Blinds are great. I think the 2-inch faux wood blinds, either in a wood finish or in white, are kind of nice for the space. Make it look very unbedroom. And then you want to go out, because typically that space is smaller, is that you want to go out and get furniture that's going to be appropriate for that space. A lot of times an upstairs bedroom could be made into a TV room. And if it's a viewing room, you want the color of the wall to be darker because it's better for television reception. You want to make sure, though, in a smaller space that the furniture you buy is not too big and the TV you buy is not too big. Keep in mind, bigger TVs are in style, but you have a small viewing area. You want that to be in proportion to the size of your room, because you're not going to be able to enjoy the picture if you're too close to it. So we want to make sure that we template everything before we buy new furniture. That is, get some painter's tape. When you go out and take a look at furniture, make sure you write down the sizes before you buy. Then come out and then put everything on the floor. Take the blue tape, painter's tape, and put it around the room where your furniture pieces are going to be, and live with that for a while to see if there's enough room. The biggest mistake people make, I see in every house I go in, is they make a TV too big for the room it's in, and they buy furniture that's too big to the room it's in because they rush, they don't template, they don't live with the template, and then they're very unhappy because their room is not comfortable because it doesn't fit the space and it's hard for them to walk around. So I hope that gives you some good solutions for your space. The next question I have comes to me from Rose, and she's in Bedminster, New Jersey. And she says, can you recommend, this is about plants. Can you recommend some plants? I have an issue with deer. Boy, that comes up all the time. I don't think we've ever done a show where that hasn't come up with gardens and issues with deer. Well, I network a lot with the nursery right here out in Ringo's a lot, Rutgers Landscaping, and they have informed me of what some of the best plants are for being deer resistant. And so I'm going to read some of those on the air, and then some of them that are my idea. They tell me that Moonbeam Coreopsis, and that's a plant that has a little yellow flower on it. It's a pale yellow flower, is a very good deer resistant plant. I've used that before. It's quite nice. I lost a lot of mine this year when the snow came. It kind of ate it up and they're not there. But in general, as far as being deer resistant, they're really excellent at that. Another one is Russian sage. My Russian sage is thriving this year. That's a pretty plant. It's also kind of an herb. It has sort of an herbaceous sort of sage smell to it, and the deer stay away from that. It has a pretty purple flower. Another one is butterfly bush or buddleia. And for some reason, the deer don't like that. It gives you beautiful purpley blooms, and they're very hardy, if you will. You can lose them in the winter. I've lost some in the winter last year. Another one that that Rutgers Landscaping has recommended is the boxwood. The boxwood is sort of a green evergreen, and they're usually very shapely. They're a pretty bush that you can do in the space. Cherry laurels, not everybody does well with that, but I did well with cherry laurels. They're a nice plant that you can do as well, and they do well in the space of being deer resistant. And those are some of the ones that I've had good success with and that they recommend. So that gives you sort of a purple and yellow scheme, if you will, which is kind of pretty. And I hope that works well for you. The next question comes to me from, looks like Rayette in Annandale, New Jersey. And she talks about wanting to change her shutters and her curb appeal in the front of her house. It says that she has a colonial home. Well, I talk about this all the time. Curb appeal is so critical, whether you're looking to stage a home for sale or just to feel good about your house. When you come home at night, you know, we all work very hard to support the houses that we're living in and paying a mortgage on. You want to come home to something that you're proud of. And some of the things that you can do are very simple and very inexpensive. One of the things is shutters. Shutters make a big difference. If your windows are set in such a way that you can add shutters to a space, and you have a colonial space or a traditional space, add shutters. They add another level of complexity. If budget is the issue, you can go to any home improvement center or big box store, and you can buy the vinyl shutters. They look pretty good. They've gotten better looking. They're not so shiny looking anymore. And you get them in a variety of colors. A black shutter is always going to dress up a house, but you can do navy blue. You can do gray. You can do a green. You can do so many different colors, and they add a lot to the look of a house. If the budget allows and you can do real wood shutters, go to your local lumber yard. There are such beautiful shutters out there. I love particularly like panel shutters. That is not a louvered shutter, but a closed panel shutter that has depth and character. And they look really terrific in a space. If you have a country French home, maybe you want to do some sort of a beautiful shutter that goes along with that, a rustic shutter. But that makes a very big difference when you're working in a space. If you have existing shutters and they're sort of dull, paint them out. Shutters get very beaten up by the weather. Paint them out with a new gloss or semi-gloss paint in a beautiful, rich color. Paint them out in, again, in blacks and greens and burgundies and sort of rich blue colors. And paint your front door. I guess people aren't doing that enough. You know, if you have a white front door, let's throw some color on there. And also architecture. Throw a beautiful knocker on there and a kick plate, you know. Change out your mailbox. I mean, that, you know, I see so many people that their mailbox doesn't tie into their house whatsoever. If you have a black front door, have a black mailbox. Have those two things tie together. You know, think about how your house looks to other people when you walk by. Does it look connected or does it look like you did certain things at a certain time? Things like the lights on the front of your house. The finish on the lights of the front of your house should match all the way around. They should match your hardware. They should coordinate. So if you have oil rub bronze hardware on your light fixtures, you should have that on your door as well. And on your mailbox, you should have a consistency. If you have nickel finish on your door, you should have that on your light fixtures in your mailbox. So that's a good way to get those things to work together and make your house look as good as it possibly can be. All right. The next question I received was from Julia, and she's from Stuartsville, New Jersey, and she'll probably be our last question today. And she writes, I'm creating a nursery, another one who's having a baby. Don't know the sex of the baby. Do you have any suggestions? Well, I've been working on a couple of nurseries, two in particular, where they don't know the sex of the child. And one of the things that I'm seeing is using a lot of either grays or tans to do the nursery to get the base work done, and then waiting until the baby's born to do the accessories. And that's one of the things that I think is probably smart to do. Here's what I suggest. If you're using an existing bedroom to convert it into a nursery, I'm a big fan of putting up beadboard. And that's for practical reasons, because beadboard can be very easily washed down in case of stains, spills, and so on. And that's definitely going to happen when you have an infant in the house. So when you go to buy the furniture, I'm a big fan of white furniture in particular, because it's very... could be boy, could be girl. I'm also a fan of not buying a dedicated crib. Now they have juvenile furniture that transfers over time, a crib that goes to a bed and then to a full-size bed. So if you're going to make an investment, if this is a first child, that may be something you want to think about, something that's going to stand the test of time as the child grows so you don't have to replace the furniture. So I think that's always a good thing to do. I do prefer the white painted furniture if you don't know the sex of the child. And then taking that wainscoting either halfway or three quarters way up in a nursery is kind of nice. I probably paint out in a neutral gray tone. It's kind of nice because you can go very boy or very girl with that, or a nice taupe or a tan color. Get the nursery ready, get the furniture ready, the nursing chair and so on. And then when the child is born, bringing in some of those colors with decorative items, pinks or blues, or things that correspond to the sex of the child is a good way to go. Well, listen, we're at 2:58, and I thank you for joining me for Modern Design 2. I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. And until then, have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. After the release of a video showing Planned Parenthood staff negotiating prices for body parts, members of Congress are lashing out. USA senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper was outraged over the video of a Planned Parenthood staff member negotiating prices for body parts with an undercover operative, telling USA Headline News.
When you thought it couldn't get any worse with Planned Parenthood, then you see this.
But Harper says members of the House are stepping up to take action.
Diane Black had done the original bill, H.R. 217, which was the, you know, to prohibit federal dollars for abortion. But she's introducing a new bill, which I will be an original co-sponsor, that will just say no money, period.
I'm Jason Wirt.
Officials just held a press conference about last week's shootings in Chattanooga. They say one of the servicemen was killed outside the recruitment center. The other four were shot inside. This is USA Headline News.
Love the warmth and beauty of hardwood flooring? Then you've got to get to Lumber Liquidators Hardwood Flooring Sale. For deals on over 200 varieties of hardwood from just 99 cents. You could pay twice as much at other stores, but we've got gorgeous, pre-finished, easy-to-install walnut red oak for $2.19. Stunning Sancho Bay solid hardwood for $2.99. Hot new wood-look tile for an incredible $1.79. Plus laminate and more from 49 cents. And 24-month special financing. The hardwood flooring sale is going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
No student's ever been king of the classroom on day one. But with the right gear from Office Depot Office Max, like a new JanSport backpack, a Dell 2-in-1 laptop, and Stellar notebooks, your kid will be walking with varsity-level swagger. That's that new gear feeling. Shop with our experts to get great savings on a wide selection of school gear. And right now, get a Swiss Gear backpack for only $10. Office Depot Office Max. Gear up for school. Gear up for great. While supplies last, and $7.25.
The dash cam video has been released showing the arrest of Sandra Bland in Waller County, Texas, after a routine